Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino. Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
El Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Richard Allen confessed to murdering Abby Williams and Libby German while smearing feces on himself. He confessed while drinking toilet water, while banging his head against his cell door until his face was black and blue, while asking guards if he was already dead, while claiming he started World War III, and while saying Rocky Balboa is my favorite actor, and rambling, clap on, clap off. He confessed to shooting the girls. Problem is, they weren't shot. They were stabbed. He confessed to essaying his sister. She denies that ever happened. He confessed to doing that to his daughter. She denied that, too. He said he saw a van that scared him off mid-attack. And according to defense, the van arrived 25 minutes after the timeline suggests the attack ended. Days after confessing to the prison psychologist, he asked her if he had confessed. He couldn't remember. The state of Indiana used these statements of the man they knew was suffering from mental illness to convict him. The prosecutor called them logical and organized. The jury never heard what he actually sounded like when he made them. They never heard the audio. Judge Gall ordered it muted. They also never heard everything I just talked about right there. All they heard was logical and organized, as if he sat down, clear mind. You know what, guys, I did it. That's not at all how it went. Not at all how it went. So when you present that to a jury in that way and say, well, it was logical and organized, and when clearly those confessions were not anything remotely resembling logical and organized, one might call that a lie. Not a misrepresentation of truth, something. It's a freaking lie. And you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to just make stuff up or lie by omission or just take pieces out. We don't want you to understand the full context here, because if we just say this, well, then I got some chocolate chip cookies poisoned with cyanide that I love to tell you about. I'm going to tell you how warm and moist and delicious these cookies are, how they're baked with love from grandmother's recipe. The thousands of people have eaten them over the years. Loved every morsel. They're just so delicious. Have a cookie. You want one? They're great. They're the best damn thing in the world. And then you die. What the hell's going on here? He just said these were delicious cookies. Oh, he omitted the part about cyanide being an ingredient. But they did taste good until he started bleeding from your orifices. See how that works? When you leave context out, key pieces of information, and just tell parts, you may think, this is a lovely thing. Wow, this is being served to us on a platter. Yeah. Yeah. Judge Gull is the baker that put cyanide in the cookies, metaphorically. Richard Allen is serving 130 years based on the word of a man who was declared gravely disabled by the state's own doctors. A man who entered prison weighing 180 pounds and coherent, and 5 months later weighed 135 pounds and was eating his own poop. Could have made an analogy there, too. Look at these chocolate chips. What do you think those are? What do you think is in these? Is that chocolate? Is it raisins? It ain't even raisins. What's that that Richard's been eating lately? Oh, might that be the chocolate in the cookies? That doesn't seem to be chocolate. The question isn't whether he confessed. He did. The question is whether anything that came out of his mouth during those months bears any relationship to reality or truth, or whether it's simply what happens when you put a mentally ill man in a box until he breaks. We're going to get into all of this in this video. If you haven't already, please hit subscribe on YouTube or whatever podcast platform you're on, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review there. We do greatly appreciate that. And I'd love to get your thoughts on this case as we go through it in the comment section, either on YouTube or on our Substack, hiddenkillers.substack.com. The link is in the bio. Want to get your thoughts. And by the way, if you join us on Substack, it's like a direct link in to communicate directly with me. So if you want to have like one-on-one conversation, check out our Substack. I do encourage that. Before we talk about the confessions, we need to talk about what Richard Allen said when he was mentally intact. Because on October 13th of 2022, police brought Allen in for questioning about a day on the trails 5.5 years earlier. Keep in mind, he'd already come to them 5.5 years earlier and said, hey, I was out there on the trails. How can I help, guys? You know, like killers do, volunteering yourselves to help with the murder investigation. 5.5 years later, because they're oh so organized in Delphi, they found a piece of paper that had his name that said he came in and, whoa, there's nothing really suspicious here, but we don't have anywhere to go. And the guy that probably did it is already dead. The CBS worker, let's call him in. So they did. And when they confront him with the bridge guy photo, his response is unequivocal. If that is taken with the girl's phone, that is not me. I have never met those girls before. And then they push harder. He doesn't budge. He said, good luck finding anything that points to that. He eventually has to get up and walk out and end the interrogation because the Keystone cops won't accept no for an answer. On October 26, 2022, they bring him back. This time, Detective Holman has the bullet analysis results, the match that came from comparing apples to oranges. For an hour and a half, Holman accuses Allen of murder, and according to the appeal, he lies to Allen, claiming witnesses identified him, claiming experts matched his voice to the bridge guy video. None of it is remotely true. He's pulling shit out of his ass. Allen's response, I did not murder two little girls. I don't care how stressed out I get. I'm not going to admit to something I had nothing to do with. And then they bring his wife in after they lied to her. Even then, according to the appeal, Allen tells her, I'm not going to say something I did not do, and I can't explain something I don't understand. Two interrogations, hours of pressure, lies about evidence, his own wife used as an emotional lever. He never broke. He never wavered. He maintained his innocence completely. So what changed? Well, torture. 5 months in solitary confinement. Richard Allen has never been arrested before in his life. He was a pretrial detainee, presumed innocent under the law. That's important The state sent him to Westville Correctional Unit, a maximum security segregation facility designed for what prison officials call the worst of the worst. That's not where you put people who are awaiting trial, who are innocent until proven guilty. According to the appeal, he was the first safekeeper anyone at IDOC could remember ever being placed there. They put him in a strip cell. Bare essentials. Camera on him 24/7. Suicide companion stationed outside his door. Documenting everything he said and did. His only human contact came while he was shackled or locked in a 3-by-3-foot cage. His cell was 8.5 by 12.5 feet with a bug infestation and a narrow window facing razor wire. The man who raised his hand and said, "I was there that day. How can I help?" And the man, Jerry Holman, said, "We're going to get him. Get him." There's a lot of lovely things I'd love to say about that mutant, but we'll leave it there. If you want to look up what a lovely human being he is, what an unqualified officer he is, there's plenty of information on the internets for you out there. That's my opinion. Indiana already knew what this would do to him. A federal court had ruled that housing mentally ill inmates in solitary constituted cruel and unusual punishment. And, you know, we used to be a country that didn't do that sort of thing, at least not publicly in the open, and then be proud of it. They'd even settled a lawsuit over it. They'd established a 30-day policy for this exact reason. Well, that policy didn't matter in this case. The settlement documented what solitary does to people: hallucinations, paranoia, memory problems, eating disorders, self-injury, psychosis. The court noted that the IDOC had explicitly observed, diagnosed, and noted patient decompensation from those conditions. Alan came in with documented major depressive disorder. He'd been hospitalized for suicidal ideation in 2019. IDOC gave him a D mental health score, the most severe classification, something that if you're going to be taking someone who's not been convicted of any sort of crime into consideration, you don't put them in torturous conditions that we don't even put people into in prison camps of our worst enemies. But hey, we do it to American citizens when we need to slam that square peg into the round hole. At least if you're Jerry Holman, you do. And the whole crew of Delphi. Because look, that's what took place here. That's fact. These events happened. Whether you want to say he's guilty or not, your process of getting there was an abomination of the law. Something you should have no connection to in any way, shape, or form for the rest of your natural life. Because you clearly don't understand how it works and how to wield your power responsibly. They had a 30-day limit, and according to the appeal, they kept him there for 13 months. The deterioration is documented in IDOC's own records. November of 2022, Alan arrives looking like a deer in the headlights, but coherent. Within 2 weeks, he tells the prison psychologist he feels like a broken man. He tells his wife that if he becomes too much for her, she should call the detectives and he'll tell them whatever they want to know. He hasn't confessed to anything yet. He's just cracking, basically saying, "Look, I don't want you guys to suffer out there. I'll tell them that I'm the one who did this, basically, even though I'm not, if it's going to protect you guys out there from any more hell that you're experiencing while I'm in here being tortured. In Indiana. We're not in Guantanamo. This is happening in Indiana. Not India, Indiana. Then January 23rd comes, or January of 23 comes. He's expressing paranoia, still no confessions. By late March and early April of 23, his behavior suddenly deteriorates. And according to prison records cited in the appeal, he refuses meals. He becomes nonsensical. He speaks of someone named Old Bear Claw hypnotizing him. You know, Old Bear Claw. He acts like he's from medieval times. He rips up his legal mail. He washes his face in toilet water and drinks the water. He sticks a spork into his genitalia. He covers himself in feces, spit, and vomit. He paces constantly, eats pages from his Bible, and bangs his head against the cell door. You know, someone where you're going to take their words very seriously that come out of their mouth. Must be in a great mind to make legal decisions right now. And then April 13th of 2023, the eye doc psychiatrist examines him and finds him very psychotic, hallucinating, incompetent to consent to treatment. There's brown fluid around his mouth from eating the poo. On April 14th, eye doc declares him gravely disabled and orders involuntary medication. The confessions began April 3rd, right in the middle of this collapse, before he was even officially declared psychotic. So the very system that is saying gravely disabled, he's psychotic, he's not in his right mind, he's eating poop, is also saying you better damn well believe everything he says. You can't have it both ways. But in Judge Gull's courtroom, you can. That's the magic of Judge Gull. On April 3rd, Alan called his wife and said, I did it. I killed Abby and Libby. Then maybe I did. I think I did. The same day, according to iDoc records, he fell on the floor, asked if he was dead, and expressed suicidal thoughts. What the jury never heard is the phone calls that bookended that confession. According to the appeal, Alan called his father earlier that morning and said he was losing his mind. He said he didn't know how much longer he'd be lucid. He said, you guys know I would never do something like I've been accused of. He believed he was being drugged. He felt like he was in Guantanamo Bay. And by some accounts, they had it better in Guantanamo Bay. After the confession call, he called back, panicked, unsure if the first call had been a dream. The jury only heard the middle call there, the one with the confession. The rest? No. You guys don't need context here if you're trying to figure out innocence or guilt, because context might make us look like we're fucking monsters. Because you are. We're not going to tell you that. And look, if you were on that jury and you're watching this and you're going, oh, shit, it's not your fault. You were duped. I'm not mad at you. I don't think anybody reasonable will be mad at you for the decision you came to. You were lied to. You were given information that was very cherry-picked, and you came to your conclusion. That's what happens when you're given false information, bits and pieces of information, no context, and you're lied to. You may come to the improper conclusion. Hence, cyanide cookies, like we talked about earlier. You remove that from the context of the cookie operation, they seem delicious, don't they? On April 5th, Alan told Dr. Walla, the prison psychologist, I killed Abby and Libby, I'm sorry. He said he was motivated by sex, but couldn't remember whether he'd actually had sex with the girls. He also confessed to molesting his sister and his daughter. Both women denied any of that's ever happened. 2 days later, according to the appeal, Alan asked Dr. Walla if he had confessed. He couldn't remember doing it. And on April 29th, he told a guard he killed the two girls with a box cutter he had stolen from CVS. He said he was going to rape them, but panicked. He said they were screaming. The day before, according to prison records, he was covered in poop. On May 2nd, he told Dr. Walla, I killed Abby and Libby. I will kill everyone. I will wipe out the whole world after I die. He mentioned World War III. He was confusing nightmares with reality, and he randomly said, methamphetamine. He told everyone he loved them also. On May 3rd, he provided more detail. He followed the girls. The bullet fell out. He said down the hill. He was going to essay them, but then he said he saw a van. He crossed the creek, and then he says he slit their throats. He also said he feared missing Easter. Thought his interactions with Dr. Walla were fake, but was paranoid about his safety. Keep in mind, he's already been told that he's done all these things over and over and over and over by the guards and by the dipshits that call themselves police officers in Delphi, Indiana. That van detail, the one prosecutors called something only the killer would know? Well, according to the defense, the state's own evidence showed Brad Weber's van didn't arrive home until 2:44 to 2:50. Libby's phone stopped moving at 2:32 p.m. The van arrived 15 to 25 minutes after the attack would have actually ended. The detail only the killer would know doesn't match the timeline that they're trying to say works. Throughout this period, Allen confessed to guards while smearing the poo on himself, while rolling in it, while drinking toilet water, while shouting at a shadow, while singing, while hitting his head on the floor, and while asking if he was dead. Yeah, seems legit, doesn't it? The prosecution told the jury these confessions were logical and organized, that Allen was calm and solemn, that he showed no duress or stress, that he found religion and wanted to unburden himself. All lies. All bold-faced fucking lies to a jury. The jury saw videos of Allen in solitary. Judge Gull ordered the audio muted. And according to the appeal, that audio would have shown Allen screaming for his dad, yelling Roger and Marvin, and wait for it, begging to be put on an airplane, telling guards not to believe his last confession, claiming to be both the stupidest and smartest person ever, claiming he started World War III, and rabbling clap on, clap off. So, Judge Gall, if you wanted that conviction, it was a smart move to mute the video. Not smart in terms of actually getting a legit conviction for someone who's actually guilty, but pushing your narrative along. Why don't you press mute over there? She'd play a great witch in a horror movie, wouldn't she? She just has the look. It's like, I wonder if she's younger, like what her thought process. I can be a judge or I can be typecast as a witch for the rest of my life. I'm going to go with judge. One video, according to the appeal, shows medical personnel discussing Allen's cholesterol and blood pressure while he sits there catatonic, drooling, completely non-responsive because, you know, that's the conversation to have with the person eating their poo. How's your cholesterol? The jury got the state's version. The jury got that version. A guilty man unburdening his soul. Reality could not have been further from the truth. A man so broken, he couldn't form coherent sentences. The defense called Dr. Grassen, a psychiatrist who's spent his career studying what solitary confinement does to the human mind. He testified that such environments cause psychotic delirium, confusion, and disorientation. That delirious behavior can become grotesquely regressive, smearing feces, sexual acting out, self-harm, that on recovery memory is often absent. He had no doubt Allen was delirious, and he saw the hallmarks of a false memory forming. According to Dr. Grassen, false memories start as beliefs. I think I did it becomes I did it. The belief evolves into a perceived recollection. The more someone tries to remember, the more concrete and distorted the memory becomes, like a game of telephone played inside a broken mind. The judge prohibited Dr. Grassen from pointing to the specific details Allen got wrong as evidence of false confession. His most powerful testimony, all of that, you know, when you bring an expert witness in to explain what's going on, all of it blocked. Jerry doesn't get to hear any of that. But the facts speak for themselves. Allen said he shot the girls. Well, they were stabbed. He confessed to molesting family members. He never did that. They've said he's never done that. He gave a van detail that doesn't match the actual timeline. He couldn't remember confessing days after he did it. These aren't the details of a guilty man finally telling the truth. These are the symptoms of a mind that can no longer tell the difference between reality and delusion. Before solitary, two interrogations. Hours of pressure, lies about evidence, his wife used against him, never wavered. I did not murder the two little girls. After solitary, eating feces, drinking toilet water, banging his head bloody, asking if he's dead, I think I did it. What changed wasn't new evidence. What changed wasn't a guilty conscience finally breaking through. What changed is 5 months in maximum security isolation and torture applied to a man with documented mental illness who had never been arrested for anything in his life. A man who was presumed innocent under the law, just not by the jackasses that were charged with carrying out the law. Indiana knew what solitary does to people. They've been sued over it. They had a policy against it, and they did it anyway. And then they used the results to convict him. Richard Allen did not confess because he was guilty. Richard Allen confessed because that's what happens when you break a human being. The state broke him. Then they called the pieces evidence. That is not justice. That is manufactured guilt. And a man serving 130 years because of it. Outraged much? Then let your voice be heard. Share this. Let people know this happened. Because that's all he has left. He's rotting away in a cell right now. Because these jackasses that thought they were powerful and just twisted the law and twisted reality to fit their narrative. And they sit there with their slick back, as I call it, LA Gear hair gel. I mean, come on. The DA. I mean, why do you have to look so slimy? I mean, I just don't get it. Like, why? Like, it's like, is this, you get up there and I'm like, I want to look like a slimy, slimy man. Some, not to each their own. Anyway, if you care, share this. Let other people know that this happened. Because there's an appeal coming up. And maybe if there's enough public pressure and enough exposure of the people who did this to this man, Richard Allen will get another trial, a fair shake. That's all he's asking for. And then after that, I think we need to go after all these people and probably put them away for the rest of their natural lives. That part probably will never happen because there's protections for that. But hey, at least their grandchildren will know what kind of pieces of shit they come from. So we can share that. Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube and also on our Substack. Check us out there. The link is in the description, hiddenkillers.substack.com. You can interact with me directly on there. So please do join us. And if you'd like to support the program, there's an option for you there as well. And get tomorrow's videos today. A little extra on Substack. So check that out and press subscribe. Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever it may be, so you don't miss any of our reporting. There's a lot more to come on this. Until then, until next time, my name's Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
El Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
social casino.
Don't miss Scarpetta, a propulsive new crime thriller starring Academy Award winner Nicole Kidman, Academy Award winner Jamie Lee Curtis, Emmy winner Bobby Cannavale, with Emmy nominee Simon Baker and Academy Award winner Ariana DeBose. Scarpetta follows Dr. Kay Scarpetta, Nicole Kidman, a brilliant and no-nonsense chief medical examiner, as she investigates a haunting murder that strangely parallels her first major case from decades earlier. Is the case that made her the case that breaks her? Based on the best-selling novels by Patricia Cornwell, Scarpetta is both a crime thriller and messy family drama that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Get ready to hunt a serial killer in this satisfying series with terrifying twists and an ending you won't see coming. Watch all episodes of Scarpetta on March 11th, only on Prime Video.
El Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery. El Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit QuickBooks Bill Pay. You didn't start a business to spend your Sundays chasing invoices and manual data entry. But as you grow, accounts payable starts to feel like a full-time job you never applied for. Bills pile up, approvals get lost in email, and your vendors are constantly asking, "Where's my check?" It's distracting, it's stressful, and it's keeping you from the work that actually moves the needle. Intuit QuickBooks Bill Pay is the exit ramp. QuickBooks Bill Pay automates the busy work that eats your calendar by bringing every bill, every vendor, and every payment into one organized dashboard. Stop chasing details and start seeing the big picture. Know exactly what's due, who needs to sign off, and how it impacts your cash flow before the money leaves your bank. Vendors can even manage their own details so you stay in control of how and when you pay. Grow with confidence and put your AP on autopilot in QuickBooks. Learn more at QuickBooks.com/BillPay. Again, that's QuickBooks.com/BillPay. Terms apply. Money movement services are provided by Intuit Payments, Inc., licensed as a money transmitter by the New York State Department of Financial Services.
This podcast is brought to you by Epicor Profit 21 ERP, purpose-built for distributors. In sports, the best teams don't chase the scoreboard. They set the pace. And in distribution, pace matters. 60% of the top distributors run on Profit 21 because it delivers real-time inventory visibility, smarter purchasing, and connected operations from sales to fulfillment. Don't play catch-up. Set the pace with Epicor Profit 21 ERP. Visit epicor.com/win.
El Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino. Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
El Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino, Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Save big money on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine interior paint and primer in one is Dutch Boy's best hiding and most durable paint. It delivers a smooth, elegant finish while providing maximum scuff, stain, and mark resistance. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and get your painting project started today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save